Oh, Father, we're grateful for the love that you've shown us. We're grateful, Father, that we can sing of that love. Grateful, Father, that we can look to the cross and see that love. And today we can come and remember the depths of that love and all that your Son Jesus has done for us. So, Father, speak to our hearts now as we look at your word. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke in his gospel, as we just read, talked about that Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper, but actually the disciples and Jesus had gathered in that upper room to celebrate the Passover, to celebrate that time when God came to those in Israel, or the Israelites in Egypt, and told them that they were going to be released from bondage from Egypt. And this one last plague that was going to come on Pharaoh would do the trick, and that they were to bring a lamb into their home and keep it for a few days and then sacrifice it to the Lord and celebrate, and then take that blood and splash it on the door so that as the death angel came by, he would pass over that home. That night, all the firstborn of the nation of Egypt died. But those, the firstborn of Israel, survived because of the blood on the doorpost. It was a foreshadowing of what the blood of Jesus is going to do for all of us, and foreshadowing of what is about to happen in the coming weekend. After that Thursday, as Jesus stood before his disciples, as they celebrated the Passover, celebrated that first lamb that was slain, and Jesus was standing before them, and he was going to be the last lamb that would have to be slain, that he would shed his blood, and his blood would be enough, and salvation would come to all who would receive him if they would. And so he stands before them, and he inaugurates a new covenant in his blood. And he lifts the cup to the disciples and says, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." He lifts the bread and he says, "This is my body, which was broken for you." It was not in reality his body. It was not in reality his blood, but it was symbolic of what Jesus was going to do on the cross. He was going to shed his blood for us, and he was going to give his body for us. And it was to be symbolic. And he told them, "Is oft as you can, do this in remembrance of me." And so he was setting up this opportunity for us as believers, for us who have been changed because of what he's done on the cross, to gather at the Lord's Supper table and remember what he's done for us on the cross and giving his body and his blood. And as we remember that, we are also supposed to come to the point where we understand that we need to approach that symbolism, that juice and the bread, with this desire to make sure we are clean before him. That's what I want to encourage everyone in this room to do as we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, that you will come before the Lord and ask him to reveal to you any sin that you might have in your life, and to ask forgiveness and get right with God as we have the opportunity to remember his body and his blood. There's nothing magical about the juice or the bread that we take. It's symbolic, but it's meaningful. It has an awesome meaning as we think of everything that Jesus Christ has done for us. It's a glorious celebration of God's grace. It's a remembrance of what Christ's blood does for us. It's a visual proclamation of the gospel. It's the gospel seen and recognized. It calls us to worship deeply, and it calls us to fellowship with one another. You know, I think it's really important for us to understand that as Jesus was getting ready to celebrate not only the Passover but the Lord's Supper, they were reclining at a table. They were having fellowship together. They were enjoying one another. Doesn't mean that there wasn't any tension around the table, because at some point during this time, Luke tells us that he says, one of you will betray me. And of course, Luke says that when that was said, they all began to look at one another and wondering who is he talking about. But they were at a table and they were celebrating their relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus was instituting this remembrance of him. They had not walked through the cross. They had not been to Calvary yet. But he was saying that this is what's going to happen. And he's setting the stage for this time when he will suffer. Lord's Supper is a time for us to think about that. It's not only a time to think about his blood and his body, but I think there's five other things we need to think about as we come to the Lord's table this morning. There's something about coming to the Lord's table that we need to understand that God is holy and he could not ignore sin. The very explanation of the cross, the very reason of the cross is because God's holiness, as he looked upon us as individuals and he realized we were sinners and there was no way that we could ever have our sins forgiven and taken care of unless a price was paid, and that price would have to come through blood, and it required our lives. We were accountable for what we've done, and yet God said, I'm a just God, but I will send my son to die on the cross. I will send my son to take your place. There at the cross, we see God's absolute love, and we also see God's absolute holiness, and we see also that God's eyes are so utterly pure that no sin can dwell in his immediate presence. And so God's grace is greater than our sins, and he cannot ignore our sins, so he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Nowhere in God's holiness is it more vivid than at the Lord's Supper table. There as we celebrate the substitutionary death of Jesus, where he took our place, and the justice and the law of God was fulfilled. And as Jesus maintained his perfect holiness and justice, God's eternal law would not be set aside. And God brought the offer of forgiveness to us. Yet this complete punishment for our sins was fulfilled by Christ receiving our punishment on the cross. In the Lord's Supper, we see God's perfect eternal solution for our sin and our guilt and for death itself. Christ became our sin that we may become his righteousness. He died that we may live forever. So when we come to the Lord's Supper table, we're celebrating the forgiveness that God made possible through his son Jesus. We could have never, never purchased forgiveness for ourselves. Forgiveness could have never been bestowed upon us because of God's justice. But because God's justice was satisfied through Jesus, now God turns to us and says, now I offer you forgiveness. It's also at the Lord's Supper table where we understand the holiness of God to the point that we must come before him willing to confess and willing to come clean before him before we partake of it if we're going to do it worthily. But God's holiness is one thing we need to see. But when we come to the Lord's Supper table, we also need to understand the incredible blackness, darkness of sin, and the inestimable value of eternal souls. Our sin separated us from God, and it is so serious it took the death of God's Son to remove our guilt. And when we observe the Lord's Supper, we remember the tragedy of our sinfulness and the absolute horror of our hell. The nature of eternal hell is so terrible, Christ was willing to die to save us from that agony. The value of anything is measurable by what someone is willing to give for it. So the value of our souls, how measurable is the value of our soul? It's measured by a God who was willing to give his only son on the cross for our sin It was an incredible value. Think about it. God gave his only son to redeem us back to himself. Christ's sacrifice reveals our indescribable value in the eyes of God. If you ever feel insignificant or second class, just remember this glorious truth. God gave all he had so you could live with him in joy and peace forever. And as we come to the Lord's Supper table, we need to think about that. That's how much God thought of us. But also we see at the Lord's Supper table, we see a love and a grace that's beyond description. It's hard to describe the love that Jesus Christ shows us at the cross and the love that we celebrate here at the Lord's Supper table, because Jesus had no sin of his own. He took our guilt and paid for our sins in full. Isaiah, 700 years before the cross, said these words, "But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities, punished for our peace, was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all." We see a God of such grace that no language can really describe it. In the Lord's Supper, we see the end of separation from God. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, death itself has died. Though we die physically, we will live forever with God and redeemed as his loved ones. But also when we come to the Lord's Supper table, we see a completed redemption, a coming Savior, and a never-ending kingdom. Because we now have full scripture revelation, we know Christ's sacrifice is complete. In fact, Jesus on the cross looked to his Father after he had asked his Father why he had been forsaken. And after accepting juice from the sponge that was lifted to his lips, he gathered all of his strength and said, "It is finished." The risen Lord is now building his church for a kingdom that shall never end. For us, the Lord's Supper is a glorious remembrance and celebration of who Jesus is and what he has done and all that he will yet do. There's a reason in 1 Corinthians 11:26, as Paul talks about the Lord's Supper, there's a reason that he says that we celebrate the Lord's Supper till he comes. It's because we're looking forward to the time when Jesus Christ returns again. And we look forward to that time when his kingdom will be established here on earth. And at that time, we will gather around another table. We'll gather around that great banquet, wedding banquet table, as the kingdom comes. But last of all, when we come to the Lord's Supper table, we see the indescribable glory of God that is bound up both in his perfect holiness and his perfect love. In the Lord's Supper, we see the unspeakable greatness and glory of the grace of God. When the people of the Old Testament sacrificed the blood animals, few could ever have thought it represented the ultimate sacrifice of God's own sinless Son. As they instituted the Passover observance, it perfectly symbolized the future Christ who would be the ultimate Lamb. Increasingly significant that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper at the Passover meal with his disciples. No coincidence that the Messiah chose the Passover meal as the setting for instituting this time. Jesus was declaring himself to be the final fulfillment of God's passing over our sin by his blood. From the beginning of time, it was all about Jesus, and it was all pointing to Jesus. Let us forever, ever bow and cry, not only at the cross, but at the Lord's Supper table, and cry out these words, "Holy and worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Revelation 5:12 says, they said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He is worthy of our constant worship and of our total love and of our complete obedience. Only by the deepest praise and reflection and surrender are we taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy way. So we come today to the Lord's Supper table. So many times we come, it's always once a month or once every quarter or however a church does it. And we come to the Lord's Supper table and it becomes sort of automatic and sort of taken for granted. But we need to remember these things about who God is and what Jesus showed us on the cross and how we're celebrating the fact that He is making forgiveness available and His blood washes us clean of all of our sins. Such love and such holiness calls for a personal response from each of us. In light of who He is and what He has done, how could we be complacent or ever again take the Lord's Supper lightly? So this morning, as we have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating the life of Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And we're celebrating that time when you and I came to faith in Jesus. It might have been as a boy or a girl or a teenager or a young adult or an older adult, but when Jesus became real for us and we gave our hearts and lives over to Him, we come and we celebrate that time. We celebrate what He's done for us because of the cross. And we celebrate the fact that the cross was not the end of it, that the resurrection came later. And on that morning, He rose from the dead. And now we have a risen Savior that lives in our heart. It is not just hung on a cross. We have a living Savior that is with us today, is right here in this room today, willing to meet us where we are. I don't know what might be going on in your heart and in your life this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior. This would be a great time to bow your head and say, "Lord, come into my heart, come into my life. I repent of my sins. I surrender my life to You. Please save me." Maybe you're here as a believer and you've sort of let your Christian walk wander and you haven't been giving God the place in your life that you need to give Him. And today you just need to experience a renewal in your own heart and life and say, "Lord, I'm sorry that I have not given You everything that I promised You in the first place." And today you just need to come before Him and say, "Lord, I recommit and rededicate my life to You. Help me to live for You the way I first promised that I would when I received You as my Savior." Many of us may be in that same kind of situation. But for all of us, as we come to the Lord's Supper table, we come asking God to help us to understand afresh and anew all that the cross means and all that the resurrection shows us and the power that Jesus offers us to live by until He comes again. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we come to You this morning thanking You that we can celebrate the fact that You have saved us and knowing that there's nothing that we have done to bring this about other than to respond to You in faith and surrender and repentance. And Father, You did the rest through Your Son Jesus on the cross. And we come, Father, thanking You for Your body that You gave for us and Your blood that You shed for us. And we come, Father, saying and thanking You that You've done that for us. And our prayer is that as we take the juice and as we take the bread, we would give You thanks from the bottom of our hearts of all that You've done for us. That God, You would once again assert Yourself over our lives as Lord and as Savior. and that we would understand that anew and afresh today. So, Father, we pray that as we come here, that you would, as the psalmist said, search me and know me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the path of righteousness. So as we continue in a spirit of prayer, I ask everyone in the room to take the next few moments to prepare their hearts and their life to receive the bread and the juice. And Father, we thank you. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.